Welcome to the Winner's Walk podcast, where you will learn from today's top Christian leaders how to fulfill your divine destiny and to live the victorious life God has called you to live. By sharing their godly wisdom and stories of success, we hope our guests will inspire, educate, and motivate you to walk like the winner God made you to be. And now, here's the host for Winner's Walk, Neil Clark.
Hey, winners, I'm your host, Neil Clark, and I'm super excited for today's show. We're honored and blessed to have with us one of today's top Christian leaders, Dr. Nito Cubain. Now, Dr. Cubain came to the United States with only $50 in his pocket and a few words of English in his vocabulary, yet has gone on to become one of America's great success stories. Today, Dr. Cubain is a business leader, a speaker, an author, and the president of High Point University. Dr. Cubain has been a recipient of some of the nation's highest awards, including the induction in the Horatio Alger Association of Distinguished Americans, the Ellis Island Medal of Honor, and the International Speakers Hall of Fame. In his home city of High Point, North Carolina, he has been named both the Citizen of the Year and the Philanthropist of the Year. And it is my great honor to welcome to our show today, Dr. Nito Cubain.
Thank you very much, Neil. I'm delighted to be with you. It's a blessing to be on your podcast.
Thank you so much. Well, we always like to start our show just with getting a little bit of background. And can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing? I know that's a big part of your story.
Well, you know, I was born in the Holy Land, and I was born in a time that was a challenging time in that part of the world. And my daddy died when I was 6 years of age. So I've never really known a dad who had taken me to the park or throw me a ball or read me a book or sing me a song. My mother was a fourth grade educated woman, but she had a heart filled with joy and she wanted the best for her children. So she learned to become a seamstress. And she began to work making clothes for people effectively and to feed us and clothe us, but most importantly, to plant in our hearts seeds that would stay with us all of our lives, values for living, principles for life. She was a Christian woman, lived to be about 92 years before she went on to heaven. And much of what I know today, really, I've learned from her biblical footings and her teachings. And so my background was like that. And then, of course, at age 17, I came to America as a student. I went to a small school in eastern North Carolina called Mount Olive, then Mount Olive Junior College. I picked it because it sounded like the Mount of Olives. And the people in Mount Olive were just absolutely among the best I've ever met. As the Bible says, I was a stranger and they took me in. Right. And they took good care of me. And then I transferred to High Point University, then High Point College, because Mount Olive had only 2 years. It was a two-year school. So I came to High Point. I've been here ever since. And along the way, Neil, as you know, and maybe you'll talk about it later, you started some businesses and been involved in all kinds of things. But when I was in college at High Point, this is something most people don't know about me. When I was a student at High Point College, I actually worked in a church, actually two or three different churches, not at the same time. I was a youth director. And I would be responsible for all of the Sunday evening programs, all the retreats. It was really out of my sometimes disappointment that I couldn't locate the material I needed to lead all these young people. Our program grew from 15 young people to 120. And I couldn't find all the books I needed, Christian books I needed for games, for retreat ideas, for Bible studies, and so on. So when I came out of graduate school at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, I actually started a company called Adventures with Youth. And within 3 years, I had about 68,000 churches and camps and schools who became clients of that company. And we would do conferences to teach youth leaders how to be leaders. And out of that came my professional speaking career. So you know, I often like to say, it isn't that God is on our side, but rather it is that we are on God's side. And then when God breathed in my nostrils and gave me life, he intended for me to be extraordinary. an extraordinary disciple and steward. And, you know, when you have faith, when you have courage, and you put them together and you have faithful courage, then you can, as the Bible says, you can move mountains.
Amen. I 100% believe that. And it's amazing hearing your work with youth, how that you have to definitely be resourceful when you're in that environment. And that's great. Now, you had worked a lot of Christian camps as well growing up. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, I directed summer camps for mostly YMCAs, the Christian organization. I directed the one in Canton, North Carolina called Camp Hope. Camp Sheria, which is the High Point YMCA. And I've always had, I think we each have a calling, you know, and my calling, I believe, was to work with young people, to inspire them, to teach them, to educate them, to guide them, to coach them. And even now as president of the university, that's essentially what I'm doing, albeit there are other administrative things that you have to do. So at the end of the day, what excites me the most is trying to, you know, be a if not a hero, at least a model and a mentor. Yeah. For these young people.
Now, you took kind of, like you said, the adventure with youth business, and then that kind of opened up your speaking and motivation, but you've diversified into so much. I mean, just from your bio, reading it, it was, you know, you're on the board at BB&T, you're working with Lazy Boy as well, and other companies, I mean, probably more than I even know. What kind of spawned all of that, or what do you think really helped you be successful to the level that you have been?
That's a good question. First and foremost, I believe I'm blessed and highly favored. So I believe that somehow, some way, God opens up doors for you. I wish I knew all the answers. I don't know. I let my faith guide me there. I'm not concerned about knowing all the answers. What I do know, though, that if you light a candle every day, somehow, some way, you know, by their fruits they shall know them. And if you're doing good and living a good life, you're being a good disciple and a good steward, and you're losing yourself in something that propagates the cause of Christ and his teachings, good things come your way. So life is based on the relationships that you have, practically speaking. I've always followed my mother's advice. She said, who you spend time with is who you become. So look, most important question for anybody who's listening to us today is to ask this question. Who is in your circle of influence?
Right.
Who are your friends? Who are the people you follow? Who are the people you learn from? I always wanted to follow, learn from, be with men and women who are faithful, men and women who are focused, and men and women who are successful in their own way. And I don't attempt to define the word success. For some people, success is being a missionary, right, and making no money and working very hard, but doing work they feel passionate about. For others, it's about being on Wall Street, making as much money as they possibly can. I judge none of those. It's not my place to do that. I often say to our students here, you know, enjoy the gifts. It's okay. God created this world for a reason. Enjoy the gifts, but keep your eyes on the giver and don't take yourself too seriously. And always remember that to whom much is given, much is required. I love the words of William Barclay, the Scottish theologian, who said, always give without remembering, always receive without forgetting. And so for me, you know, I followed my mother's advice. Who you spend time with is who you become. That's number one. Number two, what you choose is what you get. Mm-hmm. And what you choose, it depends on your values, on your principles, on your foundational tenets upon which you stand. And, you know, so I made, you know, reasonably good choices in my life. And then the fact of the matter is that how you change is how you succeed. In other words, for you to succeed in life, in any endeavor, you must change. You must be adaptable, nimble, flexible. You must have a degree of awareness about what is and what could become. And you have to believe in your brothers and sisters, you know, that God had created by breathing in their nostrils and creating them too in his own image. So those were the kinds of things that really lived with me the most. But you're right. I get into a lot of different businesses. I serve on a lot of different boards. It's easy when you get to a point where you know people.
Right.
And people know people and people know people. And they begin to recommend you or you know, move you forward and onward and encourage you. Sure. And so that's really been my life. And I'm grateful for it. And everything that I get involved in, Neil, I try diligently to be of service. So leadership is about servant leadership. It's not about what you accomplish. Because when we're all gone, nobody's going to care what awards you have or how much money you left behind. What is really going to matter is who have you influenced and what impact have you created, because you have breathed the freest of all gifts God has given us, oxygen, and because you've occupied space on this earth.
And I think your faithful courage and those principles that you just outlined there is really the key to the success that you've had. Definitely great words of wisdom there. Now, let me ask you, obviously, I know coming to a strange country that you didn't even hardly speak the language with no funds, just $50 or less in your pocket. That had to be one hurdle. But were there any other hurdles that you had to overcome through this process?
Lots of hurdles. You know, life is imperfect. And for me, you know, my dad died. That was the first turning point. I came to America. That was a second turning point. I didn't have any money. So, you know, life was difficult, right? There were nights when I would buy a bag of peanuts for 15 cents, roast it. That would be dinner. Those are difficult times. But out of challenges can emerge opportunities. From adversity can often lead to abundance. And so my mother told me a lesson years ago that was a very, very important lesson. Lesson was, you know, it's perfectly okay to be disappointed. People will disappoint you. Circumstances will disappoint you. Events will disappoint you. But it's never okay to be discouraged. Because when you're discouraged, that means you've lost your faith. That means you have no faith. Right. And so I've lived by that mantra, if you will. And so when things were tough, you know, going to school in a different land, didn't see my mom for 5 years. I came here on a one-way ticket. I couldn't afford to go back. Or when I started my businesses, not everything succeeds in the way you want it to succeed every time. Sometimes you fail. Sometimes it costs you money or reputation or relationships. You have to pick up the pieces and get going again. And you know, we live in a world now of social media and all the rest of it, where people take cracks at people and hurt other people's feelings, you know, intentionally or otherwise. It doesn't matter. The effect is the same. And yet that's not the teachings of Jesus. You know, the teachings of Jesus is to love one another and to forgive one another and not to judge each other. So, yeah, there were lots of hurdles, a lot of business, you know, hurdles that I've had to overcome. But I'm here to tell you that out of every one of them, I learned. Right. And from each circumstance, I became stronger. And I never wavered with my faith. I always believed that God has a plan for my life. And always in my speeches, I talk about my faith. And occasionally, somebody gets offended by it. But more often than not, people whisper in my ear how much they've appreciated that. So, you know, if you're not a witness for what you believe, then, you know, you forget what life is all about. Authenticity above charisma every time. That should be our goal.
I was writing that down. Now, I know one of the things that you do in today and what you're doing at High Point University, obviously the university has grown significantly with you being there. And just like you said, you're sowing seeds into these young adults at a very impressionable time.
Here's what I tell young people. I say, look, you know, God didn't sit in heaven and say, tell you what, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to create some extraordinary people. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, I'm going to create some dinglings. Then I'm going to rest on Sunday. And then I say, what day of the week were you born on? But of course it didn't happen that way. We know how it happened. God created each of us in his own image, breathed in our nostrils and gave us life. And so we're all extraordinary if we're in God's kingdom, right? Now, extraordinary means don't be ordinary. Be distinctive. Be differentiated. It doesn't necessarily mean that I have to be better than you to be extraordinary. It doesn't mean that at all. What it does mean is to use the potential that God has given me, to be all I can become, to lose myself in something purposeful, to do good unto as many as I can, as often as I am privileged to have the opportunity to do so. So that's really what it means to be extraordinary. In business, it means be a good leader. Help others to rise along with you. Do good things with the money that you make, right? Not just tithe, double tithe, triple tithe. In other words, give until it feels good. if you focus on planting seeds of greatness in the minds, the hearts, and the souls of others, you do amazing things in life. If you just focus on building net worth and being rich and buying the next car and the third and fourth home, and here's the lesson we all learn at some point or another. Those things do not lead to joy. They lead to temporary happiness.
Right.
And joy, you are in charge of your own joy, with your faith, with your behavior, with your beliefs. And maybe you get coaching to help you along that way. That's what we call Bible study, Sunday school, etc. But the reality of it is, to be extraordinary means, you know, you were given the opportunity to live on this earth, to be an ambassador, and give it your all. Do everything you can every day in the best way that you can. Not necessarily by working the longest hours or causing your health damage or ignoring your family. Those are not the things that I mean by extraordinary. I mean your potential. You have so much more potential. We know this empirically. We know that the average person is using less than 10% of his potential. Ben Carson says that if you were to learn a new piece of information every second of every minute of every hour of every day, it would take you 3 million years to occupy the space in your brain. Wow. Created within us is infinite wisdom. It's just that we don't develop it. We don't evolve it. We don't maturate it. And so that's what I mean by extraordinary.
And it's great that you created an environment there that young adults can come there and grow and have that freedom to expand. And that's the standard of what you're creating. That's awesome. Now, did you have mentors in your life through the process, and how did they help you?
I've had heroes, models, and mentors. You know, I've had heroes, people I've never met, but I learned so much by their life's examples or by reading their books or listening to them or watching them on YouTube, for example. People living and people who've long passed on. And I have a lot of models, people that you look at and you say, I would love to have that quality that that person has. Think of qualities like patience, like love, like forgiveness. You know, you see some people and you go, my goodness, I would be so blessed to have some more of that this person has. But ultimately, the most important thing is coaching, right, which comes from your mentors. We all need coaches. And we need coaches for different reasons in different environments. You know, you need a biblical coach, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher who can preach the word of God, who can explain it in ways we can relate to it Monday through Saturday and so on. But we also need coaches in business. You know, if you have the opportunity to be a business person, for example, then you need to be coached. You don't need to be making mistakes. You don't need to be hurting other people. You don't need to be running a bad business and eventually lay people off. You need to get all the wisdom you can.
Right.
And that comes from coaching. And whether you hire a coach or whether you have mentors who are just, you know, willing to have lunch with you or meet with you once in a while, just put the arm around you and try to, you know, help you out. I've had a ton of those. I sought them out. I never abused the relationship. I was always willing to give, not just give back, but just to give. There's a big difference between giving and giving back. God is not too pleased with people who just give back. Giving back sounds like I owe the bank a loan and I have to give it back. Yeah. Giving just comes out of your generous heart. It's about benevolence. It's about, you know, your grateful being and expressing it in ways like that. So yeah, I've had a lot of mentors, and most of whom you don't really know, not necessarily famous people, but people who have impacted my life in measurable ways.
Well, I love what you do there at the university, where you bring people in and have them speak, known, and just like you said, have great people that you can put in front of these young adults as examples and have conversations with. So that's a great environment that you're creating there. What other words of wisdom would you have for our listeners before we leave today?
Well, you know, every person, especially business people, but every person, really have to follow four steps if they're going to succeed in a measurable way, especially in a world that's ever-changing and a world that's so competitive. First thing is you have to have a clear vision. The Bible says if the people have no vision, they shall perish. So you have to have a clear vision. What is your clear vision for your business or for your church or for your organization? Second, you have to have a solid strategy. So, you know, God is not a busboy. You can't just pray to God to do the work for us. I pray to God to give me wisdom and patience and strength. But you have to have a solid strategy. Solid strategy answers three questions. Where am I today? Where do I want to go? How do I get there? Or who are we today as an organization? Who do we want to become, or who must we become to succeed and thrive, and how do we get there? The third step is practical systems. Too many people get so caught up in their dreams that the dreams become, you know, not very achievable or too risky. And so you have to be practical. You have to follow the law of reason, which says what is. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand a very simple principle, which is, you know, always be selectively extravagant. Okay. And always be prudently frugal. Not just with your money, but also with your time, with your energy, with your friendships, with your engagements, involvements. So that's what I mean by practical systems. And the last one is consistent execution. That, you know, an idea that sits in your file somewhere will not really get you anywhere. And what you've got to do is act on it. Action is significantly more important than effort. And sometimes imperfect action is better than perfect planning. So in other words, you've got to get up in the morning and go do it. And then correct your ways if it doesn't work right. I'm not suggesting people should be risky or be crazy. I'm only suggesting that you have to have those points. Hype University, we grew from this tiny little school. I came here and I said, we're going to be a God, family, and country school, period. If people don't like that, we get that. We respect that. But we're going to be a God, family, country school. And man, the heavens opened up. And people came from everywhere. They love the fact that we're patriotic. They love the fact that we acknowledge God's presence in our life. And so we grew this university from a tiny little place to a significant place today. Number one, by the way, 7 years running among best colleges in the South, according to USU's World Report. Top and the top 380 colleges, according to Princeton Review. Top 20 best-run colleges, according to Princeton Review. Number one most innovative school among best colleges in the South, according to USU's World Report. So lots of achievements, but ultimately, it happened. Because we did those things I talked about and a few other things. We created value. We interpreted value. We removed irritants out of the system. And we added wow to the experience. That's really what we did. So if you're experiencing our world, our hemisphere, our zone here, you acknowledge, wow, these people really offer a lot of value. In fact, we were just picked by US News World Report as a top best value school. So those are the things. It's not magic. Right. It's not a secret. These are foundational fundamentals that you follow and that you inspect. Inspect what you expect every day in ways that can derive success for you. And that's kind of what happened at High Point University. But, you know, in every business, Neil, that I was involved in, whether it was, you know, banking or real estate or publishing or consulting or speaking or retail, any of them, I followed the fundamentals. When I came to High Point, I followed the fundamentals, whether it's fiscal literacy or relational capital or intentional congruence, whatever they were, I put them to work. And you know, we have to be stewards of the skills and the talents and the brain and the relationships and the resources that we have, which means we really can't not do our best every day. We have to. If we're Christians and we believe that, you know, God invented me for a reason, I have to give it my all. While I keep balancing my life with family and church and country and community, of course, and health and well-being. But you know, if something is worth doing, it's worth doing well.
Right. And I tell you, if you have not, if my listeners have not been to High Point University and seen the wow factor, it is great. And so anyway, what other, are there any resources that you would recommend or websites that we should visit to learn more about, you know, some of the resources you talked about or the university?
Yes, sir. Well, the university, of course, is High Point, one word, HIGHPOINT.EDU, highpoint.edu. There's a lot of stuff there, including a lot of these interviews that I've done for public television with some famous people like Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, John Maxwell, your friend, you know, many, many, many of those. You get to watch those, the fabulous interviews, because these are fabulous people. My personal website is Nido Cubain, or Nido Q, NIDOQ.com. And you will find there my books, my CDs, and lots of materials that could be very, very useful. You know, I read every day. I wake up between 3:30 and 4 every morning, and I read between 4 and 6 before I go for a walk for an hour. So I've got stacks of books. I have lots of friends who write books, and I love to read. But I watch anybody who has something worthwhile to say, and I dismiss anybody who's wasting my time or just is giving us rubbish, and there's a lot of that on TV and other places. But one has to be discerning. Discernment is a gift. One has to be discerning in what friends you hang around with, what choices you make, what you're learning, what you're doing, who you're doing it with. But in the end, we don't have to be perfect because God knows we're not perfect.
Right.
And he forgives us anyway. And so we just have to do our best and fulfill our best potential. So anybody who's not reading, attending seminars, listening to really good speaking and good preaching is missing the boat, because, you know, you've got to feed your heart, your soul, your mind continually if you want to grow as a person.
Amen. I agree. 100% agree. I think that's great. Well, thank you for your time, Dr. Cubain. I greatly appreciate it. And if I know that my listeners will just eat up the wisdom that you had shared here today. And thank you once again for your time. I do appreciate it.
Neil, thank you very much. And God bless you in all you do.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to connect with us at www.winnerswalk.com for more information on our next podcast and to download your free checklist, the 10 success principles of today's Christian leaders that you can copy. God bless, and walk like the winner God made you.